John 15, 1-17. I'm the true vine, and my Father is the gardener. He cuts off every branch in me that bears no fruit, while every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes so that it will be even more fruitful. You are already clean because of the word I have spoken to you. Remain in me as I also remain in you. No branch can bear fruit by itself. It must remain in the vine. Neither can you bear fruit unless you remain in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. If you remain in me and I in you, you will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. If you do not remain in me, you are like a branch that is thrown away and withers. Such branches are picked up, thrown into the fire and burned. If you remain in me and my words remain in you, you ask whatever you wish, and it will be done for you. This is to my Father's glory, that you bear much fruit, showing yourself to be my disciples. As the Father has loved me, so have I loved you. Now remain in my love. If you keep my commands, you will remain in my love, just as I kept my Father's commands and remain in his love. I have told you this so that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be complete. My command is this: love each other as I have loved you. Greater love has no one than this, to lay down one's life for one's friends. You are my friends if you do what I command. I no longer call you servants because a servant does not know his master's business. Instead, I have called you my friends, for everything that I learned from my Father I have made known to you. You did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you so that you might go and bear fruit, fruit that will last. And so whatever you ask in my name, the Father will give you. This is my command: love each other. This is the word of God.
Thanks be to God. Typically after the reading, I pray. And when I was in seminary, this was called the prayer for illumination. So typically I pray asking God to illuminate or help us understand the Bible. So I'm going to do that this morning as well. And I'm going to add a few more prayer requests from the bulletin to our time of prayer this morning. So I'm going to pray for God's help, but also raise some requests that we have from the bulletin this morning. So let me pray. Father, thank you for this passage, and we do ask that you'd help us, not just this morning, but whenever we open your word or hear your word, help us to understand it, help us to believe it, help us to receive it, help us to live in the light of your word. And we ask, O Lord, that especially again this morning, you would come and help me, but help all of us. We would treasure your word. And we would understand, O Lord, this in some ways peculiar image of the vine and the branches. Father, we also pray for other things in our church community. We pray, Lord, for those who are struggling in some ways with strength, lacking strength, or with healing, wanting, Lord, to be healed of infection. We pray, Lord, for Peggy. Thank you. She could join the seniors on Tuesday, but ask that you would strengthen her day by day. We want to pray for Ruth, and thank you that she's come home from the hospital, but also give her strength and healing. We want to thank you that Louise is here this morning with us, and for Louise and Russ in this season of chemotherapy and of doctor's visits, O Lord, strengthen them as well, body and soul, for the journey that they are on. We want to thank you for celebrations of birthdays for Marty and Andy and for anniversaries for Roger and Josette. We want to thank you, Lord, for ministry here at Nelson Avenue, and do ask that you would supply leaders and especially a leader in our youth ministry, O Lord, as the team looks and as we ask you to give us the person of your choosing. We look to you and ask that you would supply for us. We also pray, Lord, for our civic and provincial and federal leaders. Lord, we have different views of them. Sometimes we love them. Sometimes we're critical of them. But we're thankful that you give us people to lead. And we're thankful, Lord, for opportunity to vote and to be in a democratic society and to voice our opinions in all kinds of ways. We're thankful, Lord, as well for this metro town area and for the communities in which we live. And we do ask, O Lord, that for those in these areas who find housing here so difficult, who find it a struggle, we pray that you would supply for them. We pray, Lord, that our church community would not just watch, but we would at least seek to understand. We would seek to be empathetic of those who struggle to make ends meet. Maybe, Lord, some of us this morning who are struggling to find a place to live or finding enough funds month or even day by day, week by week, month by month, O Lord. We pray for empathy in our parts. And we also pray, Lord, for empathy on our part for the stories we hear about those who are dying because of drug overdose. Lord, this is a huge problem. And maybe many of us hear about it and we see it and we think, oh, I'm glad it's not me. But we ask, O Lord, for more response, for Christian and church response to the drug and fentanyl catastrophe happening in our communities. Lord, that you would give wisdom and guidance to all kinds of people who are struggling with this, but Lord, also give us Christian witness, Christian prayers, Christian doing good to all people. Father, what could we do as Nelson Avenue? Maybe it would seem like something small, maybe something large, but Lord, may we not just watch our society. May we pray and intercede and also be at work in our society with the good news, the great news of Jesus Christ. May it empower us in our daily work, in our daily vocations, O God. Send us out Sunday after Sunday, meeting after meeting, with the good news of Jesus. The gospel, both in our words, but also in our deeds. And now, Lord, again, we pray for your blessing. May John 15 come alive to us. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. This morning, I want to begin by asking, what are people like? If you were to describe people in general, what are they like? Now, we have a description this morning in our passage about what people are like. But as I do more often these days, I'm getting ready for a message and I'm doing a little Googling. So what do people say people are like? And I'm not saying these things are true of us at Nelson Avenue, but these are some things that I was reading, that people are like pistachios. Some of them open up easily, but there are others who need really to be broken to get into. Pistachios, those nuts, wonderful nuts to eat. But someone said online, some people are like clouds when they disappear. It's a beautiful day. Now, this quote was attributed to Plato, but I found out later Plato probably didn't say this, but someone said Plato said people are like dirt. They can either nourish you or they can make you wilt and die. And then the other day, I was talking to someone, they said people are like crows. They had seen the, you know, I know, crows, I hear, I just think of that, anyhow. But they had seen all these crows come over, and all this huge group of crows all nestled together, which is like people, you know, birds of a feather, they're all together, huddled together, and then there was one crow all by themselves. And the person said, that's like people. Oftentimes we're together and, you know, finding people that are like us, but then once in a while, we like to go off on our own. And this morning, Jesus says, not that we're pistachios or clouds or crows, but we are branches. He actually says, I am the true vine and you are the branches, my followers. Now, why does he say that? Well, why does he use the image of vine and branches? Well, there's at least four reasons, I think, why he's using that image. First of all, he's going to his Bible, which we call the Old Testament in the church, but his Bible was what we call the Old Testaments. And he knew that the people of Israel, in both Isaiah and the book of Psalms, were referred to or imaged like a vine. Israel was meant to be a vine that would give life to the world. But as we read through the Bible, or Jesus' Bible, we find out Israel is not a very good vine. They are unfaithful. They go after other gods. They don't fulfill their destiny. And so Jesus says, I am the true vine. By which he means, I am the true Israel. The people of Israel couldn't do it. I've come to fulfill their destiny. And now the true vine is here. I think Jesus also uses the image of vine and branches. We know what it means, but especially people in that day knew what vines and branches were. They were much more agrarian than we are, worked much more with their hands, with the dirt. And so images like Jesus uses of seeds, of shepherds and sheep, of vine and branches, people could connect. So he uses that image because people could connect. Maybe today he will use a different image. I'll get to that in a little while. Some people think that Jesus was walking by the temple. So John 15 is a passage that happens right after the Last Supper, this meal Jesus has before he dies. And some people think he's walking to the Mount of Olives. He's going by the temple in Jerusalem. And maybe he's walking by this. I know you can't see this very well. The resolution's low. I know. But I was reading there was a gate that went into the temple that was carved, or it had a vine with grapes on it. So this very much connects with the Old Testament view of what the people of Israel were meant to be. So maybe Jesus, on his way to the Mount of Olives, is kind of pointing at the temple, maybe even the temple gate, and saying, I am the true vine. And you are the branches. And maybe he's saying this, and I think certainly this is in the context. The previous chapter, Jesus said, I am the way and the truth and the life. And the image of vine and branches is the image of life. The vine gives life to the branches. Now, in the church, I think we do a lot with Jesus as the way and the truth. I think we have to do more with Jesus as the life. That all these three, way, truth, and life, all work together. I am the true vine. You are the branches. Now, if I said that to you, what would you think of me? I'm the vine. You're the branches. What does this sound like? Sorry. Arrogance, yeah, arrogance, certainly. What else? It sounds outrageous. It sounds like a cult leader, doesn't it? I see team nodding, yeah. Sounds like a cult leader. I'm the vine. You're the branches. And it is outrageous, and it is, I'm going to say, cultish, unless Jesus can back it up. If he can back up his claim to show you and show us he is the vine, then it's not cultish, it's not like a cult leader, not outrageous. And I'm going to get to that at the end of the message. But I want to unpack the message first, or the image first, and then I'm going to hopefully show you a little bit how Jesus shows he is the vine and we are the branches. So what's this image saying? What's Jesus trying to get across? I'm the vine. You're the branches. I think, first of all, he's trying to tell us, I am your teacher. I am your friend. But I'm not merely your teacher and your friend. I'm no life coach. Right? I'm the vine. Life is coming through me to you. So this is an image not of interdependence, but of dependence. Jesus, or we need Jesus, the followers of Jesus need him to live the lives God is calling them to live. Now, when we hear the image, maybe some of us, and the way we live in our culture, the image of dependence is very, very difficult for us. We don't like it. We push against it. Because most of our lives is trying to live independently, be independent. For those of us who are or will be or have been parents, most of our parenting for the first number of years is trying to get these children to be independent. You know, you're going to drive yourself one day, you're going to make your own lunch, you're going to do chores around the house, because one day we want to, you're out! So our families and the fabric of our society, even typically the way we live, all separate in our own houses, sort of goes against so much of what Jesus is saying here. He's not saying, I want to kick you out. Actually, I want to bring you close. I don't want you to leave me. It's also a tough image for us because Jesus says in verse 5, I'm the vine, you're the branches. Without me, you can do nothing. Which I don't think anybody wants to hear, do they? Without Jesus, you can do nothing. But this is, and we come back to this again and again, but this is one of the main concepts in the Christian faith. You have to first of all acknowledge your inability before you can move to your ability. You have to acknowledge, I can't, before we can get to do what, through Christ and His Spirit, we can. Now, I'm going to suggest that we can be nice people, even sometimes good people. We can be people who are students, we have jobs, we can live our day-to-day lives without Jesus. Many people do that without Jesus. But to live a life of bearing fruits, to live a life that God calls us to through His Spirit and the life of Jesus is not possible without Jesus. So there's a certain kind of life you can try and live without Jesus, but then there is the full life. I'm going to call it this morning the fully human life that Jesus calls us to live through Him. Now, this past Tuesday night, I wasn't there, but a number of men got together at Nelson Avenue. I heard a bit about how it went. They started a journey together. My understanding is monthly meetings, trying to be honest with each other, authentic with each other. And I think they're using this book by Brennan Manning called Abba's Child. So I got this book just recently, and it's one of those books I think, man, another book, you know. Here, Pastor, read this. Okay. When I started reading this, I thought, wow, pretty good book. Especially, and I don't want to give away too much for the men coming next month, but I was told that next month is chapter 2, called The Imposter, which was a fascinating chapter to read about how we are posers, how we try so often to pretend, not just men, women, kids, everybody. We're all always giving the false self. You know, here I am. You know, but Brennan Manning is trying to say, he tried that for many years, it never works. Because there's always a nagging sense in him, I'm not this good, I'm not this nice. I'm not what you think I am. There's lots of stuff going on in my life that's not like the happy face you see at work or church. And when he finally realized that and could name that, and in some ways could say, that's me. I'm the poser. I'm the imposter. Then he started to see a certain kind of growth happening in his life. And I think that's true also for us in terms of this passage. When we can realize without Jesus we can do nothing, nothing of fruit bearing that God calls us to. We can do all the other things about life and get busy, 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 but to really live the life God calls us to, not possible without Jesus, when we can confess that, believe that, receive that, that's where the Christian life begins. That's where the start of living the life God calls us to happens. Now, I know it sounds like bad news this morning when I say you can't do anything without Jesus. We are dependent on Jesus. Sounds like bad news. Jesus intends for it to be good news. He wants us to be thriving branches. That's who we are. He wants us to be all that we can be. I've said just recently, I'll say it again this morning, I'll say it, He wants to become truly human, fully human, to live the fully human life we were called to. And He does that because the Bible presents Jesus as the fully human one, the one who fulfilled the human project started way back in the beginning. He's the only one who has fully and perfectly followed the Father, followed the will of God right through His life, through His death, even through His resurrection. All that God intended for Him, He accepted and submitted and obeyed. And because of that, He is the truly human one, now wanting us to be fully and truly human. And there's a short summary of the Bible, and I love these short summaries that help me understand what the Bible's about, but I found this one fascinating. One person said the Bible is basically about apprenticing with Jesus, or being a student of Jesus, to become human again. So in the beginning, the Bible presents us as fully human. And then something happened. And we're still human. We aren't aliens. But we are not able to do the calling God gave us in the beginning. And so finally, God has sent His Son to show us what that fully human life looks like. The thing that Jesus says in this passage over and over again to help us to become fully human is this refrain: remain in me. Remain in me. So, yesterday I was looking out the window and I saw our neighbors. There had been a branch had fallen down, and they were working in the back there, and I said, this is my sermon illustration for tomorrow. Could I use some of this? They said, take as much as you want, because there's a huge mound of this. This is not, of course, the branches of a grapevine, but as close as I can get for this morning. Now, I think it looks pretty good. It looks, got some, some nice colors in there, and it looks like it's alive. It sort of is. But if I kept this here till next Sunday, within a week, it's not going to look so alive anymore. And this is the image that all of us should have when Jesus says, I'm the vine, you're the branches. If you don't remain in me, it's not going to be good for you. Not in a threatening way. Jesus isn't threatening us. He's just wanting the best for us. He's wanting us to live fully. He's wanting us to be alive. And so He says the best way to do that is not to be like these branches or this vine that got taken away. There's no more nourishment, but remain in me. And one way, or different ways of saying that, we could talk about negatively. I could say, don't pull the ripcord. Don't hit the eject button. Don't leave Jesus. Don't go off on your own. Or I could say positively, stay close to Jesus. Stay connected to Jesus. Remain in Jesus. Stay tethered to Jesus. And when I say stay tethered, I'm wondering if that's the image Jesus might have used if He was talking this morning. He might have said, I am the vine, you're the branches, or I'm the tree, you're the branches. I don't know. Of course, vine and branches work so well with fruit, but maybe He would have said, maybe not, but maybe He would have said, stay tethered to me like an astronaut is tethered to the space shuttle or the spacecraft. Like from that movie, Gravity. Any of you watch that? A different kind of movie. This is not your regular Hollywood movie, I thought. But the terror of no longer being tethered to the spacecraft. I can imagine what that would be like, but watching that movie gave me a really good sense of what it would be like. And Jesus is saying the same thing, for your good, for your life, so you won't go drifting off on your own somewhere there in space. Stay connected to me. Stay tethered to me. Now, one of the amazing things about our present day, and I think we should give thanks to God for this, is that I can, this past week, Google John 15 sermons. And I can listen to a sermon from 1970. When I was 2 years old, John Stott. If you don't know John Stott, I hope you will. Some of you know John Stott very well. Very well-known Christian author, speaker, pastor, passed away a few years ago. But I can listen to him give this talk on John 15 from the Urbana Conference that year. Urbana Conference, every 2 or 3 years. I was there in 1996, Missions Conference. I think we should be sending people from Nelson Avenue there on a regular basis. That's another thing. But John Stott was talking about John 15, and he said this, and I'm going to say it to you through him, 30 or 46 years later. Remain in Jesus. This is the crux of being a Christian. So we think being a Christian is you got to know the right stuff. You got to go to church. You got to live a certain kind of life. Those things are important. But that's not the essence of the Christian faith. The essence of being a Christian is connection to Jesus. Being organically connected to Him, maintaining and developing this relationship, yielding to His control, humbly relying on Him to supply our needs. And then John Stott said, there are ways we can do this. There are means that God has given people throughout the church's history to do this. And he listed four of them, which are very obvious, but I just want to say them again this morning. Four things to stay connected to Jesus. I'm going to say participate in a church community. Now, I first had attend church, but that's not what I want to say this morning. Attend church is great. Thank you. Wonderful. But participate in a church community as much as you can. Read the Bible. It's the only place where we can get authoritative words from Jesus. Be a person of prayer. Regular prayer, regular reading. And then I'm also going to say as fourth thing, a regular participant in the Lord's Supper. So a Christian community, read the Word, read the Bible, read the Scriptures, be a person of prayer, and participate in the Lord's Supper. And that fourth one, I just want to, just a few moments to say, please, 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 if you want to remain in Jesus, if you want to stay connected to Jesus, see the Lord's Supper as something that's vital for your Christian life. So typically the last Sunday of the month at Nelson Avenue is Lord's Supper Sunday. Almost every last Sunday. Sometimes a little change, but usually the last Sunday. That's next week's Sunday. I'd encourage you, for the sake of remaining in Jesus, to make sure you're going to be there. Like, that's a Sunday I think we want to say, we want to be there together as a church, participating in the Lord's Supper, remembering Jesus. But also, there are other times in our lives where maybe we're called to participate in the Lord's Supper. Sunday morning is important. But maybe other times in our lives where we say, it's too long. 4 weeks between Lord's Supper is too long. I got to keep remembering the Jesus that I'm called to remain in. And so there might be opportunities for us in other places, other ways, to participate in the Lord's Supper. John Stott ended his message by saying, the Christian is like a fruit tree, not like a Christmas tree. That's good for me. Christmas trees are great, wonderful. They don't bear fruits. So not a Christmas tree, but an apple tree, an orange tree, peach tree. Yummy. Right? Trees that bear fruits that bless other people. This is where we're going to go this fall season. Not fruit for our sake, but fruit for the sake of others. Now, I want to just end very quickly by coming back to the beginning of the message. I said, if I said, I'm the true vine, you're the branches, you should say cult leader. Jesus says, I'm the true vine, you're the branches. We say, you got to show this to me, Jesus. So I just want to point out seven ways in the Gospel of John Jesus shows us this. I'm going to go through this rather quickly. I'm going to land on the last one. I'm going to say when Jesus turned water into wine, he was showing that he is the giver of life. He is the vine. He's the one we have to be connected to. When we think about that miracle from John chapter 2, we should think the Christian life, water's great, is not mainly about water. I know we have baptism, I know water is great to drink, but when we think about the life of Jesus, it's not water, it's wine. It is a seven-day wedding ceremony where the wine runs out and Jesus supplies wine that's the best wine. That's the life of Jesus. John, the gospel writer, says in that famous verse in John chapter 3, if you believe in Jesus, you will have life. You will have eternal life that begins even now. Or Jesus with the woman at the well, John chapter 4, he meets this woman at this well at noon, the hottest time of the day. Why is the woman there at noon? Because nobody else is going to be there. They're all coming either early in the morning when it's cooler, late at night when it's cooler. They're not coming at noon. But she's there because she doesn't want anyone to see her. She's ashamed of her life. And Jesus comes. You should read that. We should read that again sometime. It's a great story. And basically says, life in me is not condemnation. Life in me, I know you better than you know yourself. I know you've had five husbands and the one you're living with is not your husband. I know that. But I'm still talking to you. I'm still inviting you into the kingdom. So life with Jesus is not condemnation, but I know you fully, but I embrace you. I call you to myself. That's life with Jesus. Jesus says, I am the bread of life in John 6. He says in John 7, if you believe in me, the living water is going to come out of you. In John chapter 11, he raises Lazarus from the dead. And before he does it, he says, I am the resurrection and the life. That sounds like a cult leader, unless you can raise this man from the dead, which he does. And then finally, in John 13, I think Jesus shows us his life, or what the kind of life he's living and calling us to live by washing his disciples' feet. So Jesus is the Lord, the leader, the teacher, the rabbi. He gets down and washes the dirty, stinky feet of his disciples and says, do you see what happened there? I should never, ever, ever, ever do that to you. That never happens. The only leaders who wash each other on the feet of others is to show you, well, I'm a great leader. You know, let's do a little thing in church sometime and I'll show you what a great pastor I am. People never do this. People in authority never do that. Never serve others that low. So if I've served you, then I want you to serve others in the same way. That there's no one in your life who is so far beneath you that you can't serve them. Because I've given you the example. And then he says, right at the end of the passage, he says, now that you know these things, you will be blessed. And for me, I'm going to go right back to Genesis chapter 1, the blessing of God to the to Adam and Eve, to human beings in the beginning. You will be blessed if you live this way. You'll be blessed if you serve others. This is where life is, in the kingdom of Jesus. your spouse, your child, your friend, your co-worker, fellow students, people in the church, but also people in the community, to serve. Attached to the vine, this is what the vine does, gives us life and ability to serve others. And I think, I could be wrong, but I think we are just scratching the surface of what it means to serve our community. I think there's more we could do. There's more God's calling us to do. Connected to Jesus, connected to the vine, but realizing part of that life, or a large part of that life, is in service to others. So this morning I want to invite us into this life of Jesus, as he has done, by saying, I am the vine and you are the branches. You can do nothing. Nothing in terms of bearing fruit, the fruit that God calls you to, without me. So to come into the life of Jesus, or to remain in the life of Jesus, I want to pray for us this morning and ask that would happen. That we be people who are connected to Jesus, finding ways to be connected to Jesus. We're remaining, we're staying tethered to Jesus. And some of us this morning might think, I don't know what you're talking about exactly. I keep hearing about Jesus and vines and branches. I'm confused. If you're confused this morning, I'd love to talk to you. What's this all about? And for those of us who are not so confused, I want to encourage us, stay connected to Jesus. I know we're supposed to be connected to Facebook and Instagram and Twitter and my email. I mean, it just goes on. I mean, I'm not even... This morning I'm saying, well, those could all be okay, but the primary connection is meant to be to Jesus. That's where the life is. And he shows us what that life looks like. And to be fully human, I encourage you, keep the connection. Remain in the vine. Let's pray together. So Father, we do ask for that. This powerful image of vine and branches. Some of us are just trying to understand what this preacher's talking about. So some of us are struggling this morning. Others of us have a sense of what you're calling from us. We're also struggling because we know it means giving up again and surrendering more and maybe going in directions that we weren't planning to. But we ask, O Lord, for the sake of our souls and the sake of the lives of others, keep us tethered to your Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. Keep us remaining in him. Keep us abiding in him. Keep us leaning on him and drawing life from him. So whether it is, Lord, through your people, through your word, through prayer, through the Lord's Supper, through other means, O God, do that over and over again. That we as branches would not break ourselves off and go running on our own somewhere else. But we would continually feed on the life-giving nourishment of the vine. So, Father, do that among us. We pray for the glory of your name, but also for the good of those around us. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.